Hi, and welcome to Aging in Place for every stage in life. What if you could visit or have a home that would accommodate anyone at any age, any physical ability, at any time? How cool would that be? That's what we're doing here at Aging in Place. Why me? Because I'm a doctor of psychology, and I specialize in physical spaces and health and wellness. Also, I love designing with intent at any age. Why now? Because we, the baby boomers, want to age in place gracefully, and we want our families around us as much as we can. And why you, the audience? Because we want you to experience what it's like to have a home that's safe, aesthetically pleasing, and that you can live in at any age, with any ability, at any time. I'd like to introduce you now to Aging in Place podcast for every stage in life. Hi, and welcome to Aging in Place podcast for any stage in life. I'm Dr. Debbie Lines, and I'm here today with my friend, Christopher Shembra. I am so excited to interview you. And yes, the tables are turned. I had the privilege of being on his podcast. So, turnabout only fair play. What I'd like to do, Chris, in this first segment is talk a little bit about your background and share a little bit about you and gratitude, because you've really done quite well in inventing yourself, okay, at different stages in life. So I'd like to hear a little bit more about you.
Awesome. Well, thanks for having me on, Debbie. You mean so much to so many people, and you've been one of the guiding lights in my life. So it's an honor to see you flourish with this podcast and be able to share my story, which you're such a big part of. But I guess the story for our listeners today, and especially on the theme of kind of reinvention, goes back to July of 2015. I'll set the scene. College dropout, rehab on the resume, moved up to New York City, found myself involved in theater. And in July of 2015, I'd been in the entertainment business for 5 years already, achieving great things. But at that period of time, I went over to Italy to produce a Broadway play over there and absolutely fell in love with the art, the emotion, the language, the culture. When I got back to New York, I essentially realized I felt four things: lonely, unfulfilled, disconnected, and insecure. We all feel those things from time to time, and I knew that left unchecked, that darkness could run rampant in my life. So I thought back to what I loved most about Italy, and it was the food. And so I started bringing some of those Italian recipes into my kitchen. I would go to work, I'd go shopping, I'd come home, I'd cook, I'd eat, I'd sleep, I'd repeat. After fiddling with food in my kitchen, I accidentally found a pasta sauce recipe and figured I should probably feed it to people to see if it's even good or not. So one day I decided I would invite 18 of my friends over to our home and feed them the sauce. 6:30 p.m., cocktails began. 8 p.m., dinner was served. But at 7:47 p.m., we put the pasta in the pot and delegated 11 specific tasks, empowering the attendees to work together to create the meal. What we found was that by empowering people to work together, to serve each other, to drink and dine together, we could create a pretty safe space for human connection. Now, at that very first dinner, where gratitude comes in, at that very first dinner, we asked a very simple question, literally after 2 hours of dining. If you could give credit or thanks to one person in your life that you don't give enough credit or thanks to, who would that be? Instead of asking them, what's your biggest fear? What's your biggest fear?
Sure.
What's your greatest regret? We would ask them to share some stories around gratitude. Much to our delight and surprise, they really opened up and brought the goods. A few of them cried. They loved the sauce. So we did the dinner the next week and kind of never stopped since. Here we are, hundreds of dinners having sparked over 400,000 relationships around the dinner table, all with that simple premise that giving gratitude to others is the key to connection.
It's really interesting. I feel very privileged to have attended one of the first dinners in your apartment, which was just enough. It moved the bed out of the way to put up the tables and the chairs. I know. It was an amazing experience. So remember that. And yeah. And that's kind of, I think that was maybe the second or third one you'd had. So it was amazing. And in retrospect, it seems like such a long time ago, but it really isn't.
Yeah.
I love it.
We certainly, our dinner started off with very humble beginnings. You know, uh-huh. Devi is alluding to literally a 350 square foot studio apartment that we used to fit, you know, 20 people in on a weekly basis.
When Christopher would have these, what he's not telling you is most of the people that are together oftentimes don't know each other. And so you're asking a lot of folks who don't really know each other come and interact and break bread together. And again, by the end, I'll never forget it, the end of the conversation in the 2 hours, I felt as though I had made connections that in the normal day-to-day living, these are folks I wouldn't have met. We were of all different ages. Some of us worked, some of us didn't. It was just a fascinating experience. And to watch how you have grown this is pretty phenomenal to all the things that you do now. One of the things that I wanted to share, and the reason that we wanted you on now too, is to talk about gratitude. And gratitude in a time that can be a little sketchy. I mean, it's an interesting time right now.
I think from what I have observed, people are craving connection now more than ever before. When history has thrown great struggle at civilization, you have two types of people. You have the people who crawl into a hole and mm-hmm. wish that it just goes away. And you have people, and then you have people who will lean into that fear and create something out of it. Mm-hmm. You know, life isn't about avoiding fear. Life is about acknowledging fear and stepping into it. And some of the biggest fears that we can have in a time of isolation and, frankly, confusion, the greatest fears we can have is losing our relationships. Right? When all else fails in our world, all we're left with is our word and our relationships. And we happen to believe that giving gratitude to others is a way to overcome that fear and actually create connection in periods of crisis, right? Mother Nature can throw hurricanes and great periods of devastation, climate change, humanity creates disease and plagues and pandemics. It's through those hardships and through civilization's hard work that creativity actually grows and flourishes. Those opportunities or those moments of devastation create opportunities for connection. And we happen to believe that if people took a fearless and searching moral inventory of their relationships and go down the list, giving gratitude to each one of them, you'll create connection and ultimately inspire and motivate entire movements into action. From gratitude, you create empathy. And empathy is one of the great healers of our world. We like to take people through this 5-part linear narrative, starting with gratitude and essentially...
And hang on with that, because I don't want to lose this train of thought, but we're going to take a real quick break. and we're going to come back and we're going to continue with gratitude. Stay with us. Hi, I'm Dr. Debbie Lines. Design elements are psychologically and physically supportive and conducive to health and wellness. To learn more about what Lines on Design can do for you, for more information on certified aging in place and facilitative and supportive design, look for us at linesondesign.com. That's L-Y-N-E-S on design.com. We are back here on Aging in Place podcast for any stage in life. We are speaking with my friend, Christopher Schember. It's an honor and a privilege to have him with us today. We're talking about a few things. We're talking about gratitude. We're talking about connections. And we're talking about empathy. So, Christopher, in our last segment, you were talking a little bit about empathy. And you were talking about gratitude and connection and how they are all intertwined.
Yeah, you know, I think where gratitude and empathy really come into play in a period of time like the world is going through today, we got to talk about the bigger picture. We don't just talk about what we can do to make life easier for us. We talk about what we can do to make life better for others. And empathy is the art of imaginatively stepping into the shoes of another person, learning their feelings and perspectives, and then using that knowledge to guide your action. So our unique way of using gratitude to get to empathy, I'll outline for you right now.
Okay.
Imagine a linear narrative. The first step is gratitude. Second step is values. The third step is stories. The fourth is empathy. And the fifth is the ultimate result, connection.
Connection.
If you think back to the first segment, at every dinner we do, every person we meet, we ask the same question. If you could give credit or thanks to one person in your life that you don't give enough credit or thanks to, who would that be? Now, if you take a partner and you answer that question to someone, or just answer the question in your journal, you're likely going to give credit and thanks to a mother, a father, a grandparent, a dog, a third grade teacher, someone you've never met before. The cool thing is, those people that you've often overlooked have actually had a great impact on your life. So the next thing I want you to do is to actually write down the values that that person stood for. Let's say you gave credit and thanks to your third grade teacher. What values did they stand for? Odds are, some of the values that they stood for actually show up in your life today.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the cool thing about gratitude, is that when you give gratitude to others and you study the impact that people have in your life, it suddenly becomes bigger than you. And that's how we define community, right? Community is about connecting with others. It's about serving others. So we live in a very individualistic society. When we have great plagues and pandemics like today, we have to go from an individualistic way of thinking into serving our community. So by giving gratitude to others and acknowledging how their values show up in your life today, and then communicating that to the people around you, you can actually start to bridge gaps. Imagine you give credit and thanks to a grandmother who stood for spirituality, frugality, humility. You tell that story to someone that you've just met at a grocery store or in the street. Maybe they have something in common that their grandmother stood for those same things. And that makes you connected. And that's how
what I hear, and I don't mean to interrupt you, but what I hear is a lot of revisiting tradition and ritual and that kind of emotional consistency. I think you're looking for commonalities, what makes us all human, rather than our differences.
Yeah, I like that. You know, history is our greatest teacher. And history as a way of repeating itself, just looking different. The good news is our world has been through periods of time like this before. Our world has survived great plagues and pandemics. Our world has survived religious wars and persecution. And so if we look to history, we don't have to look that far. We look at the values of the people that came before us, we can get a guiding light of where to go.
It's really interesting that you're talking about that. My dad lives with us, and a lot of our listeners know he's 92 years old. And what's really interesting is his point of view in listening to the coronavirus and everything that's going on. He's like, my gosh, an intern or an attending during the polio outbreak. A very similar kind of phenomena where people were afraid to be connected to each other. They had to distance. You couldn't go to swimming pools. You couldn't go to parks. You couldn't do this. You couldn't do that. And it was interesting to listen to him. He gets frustrated when I get fearful or negative. Okay. Oh my gosh, what's going to happen? He goes, you take it one day at a time. Is that familiar, Christopher? Yes. Mm-hmm. And exactly what you said. You be clear, you be kind, you do your part, okay? Each of us do our part, but you don't exclude your community. In fact, he's encouraged us here to go out, maintain our 6 feet, okay, but talk to each other. And that's basically the bottom line of everything you stand for.
Yeah, some of our favorite moments here in the city have been when we can go. We're privileged to have a backyard in the middle of New York City, which is an anomaly. But along our neighborhood, there's other people who have balconies and backyards. And every mm-hmm. once in a while, we can walk out and have a conversation with someone 60 feet away in three doors down, which would have never been something you'd get excited for.
Exactly.
But now
probably
now
wouldn't have happened.
Yeah, 60 feet is the new intimacy.
Right. It's so interesting. It really is. And I think I will say, Christopher, when you and I are together, I get always revved up because we start out usually one direction. All you listeners out there, in case you're seeing things go this way or that. And I think at the end of our discussion, it usually ends up like this. The people that we've met that were unexpected, the relationships that we've built, who knew, that are just, I mean, it's pretty amazing. And I think it does stem, exactly like you said, from gratitude. But also, and I have to ask you this, I know we've got 1 minute in this segment, so I'm going to ask you and then we'll take a break and then we'll come back. And that is, when you put all of these people together and don't know each other, do you have an expectation or is there an element of just an organic experience developing? What does that look like based on your experience? And then in this last segment to all of you listeners, we really want to pitch your book because you got a fabulous new book out too. So stay with us. We'll be right back here on Aging in Place Podcast.
For more podcast episodes, links, information, and media inquiries, please visit our website at agingInPlacePodcast.com. As we transition through life, with the comfort and ease you deserve. Discover how you can create a home that will adapt to you as you journey through life and the changes it will bring. Please follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as our host, Debbie Lines, and her expert guests discuss relevant topics to creating a home for all decades in life. Don't miss our weekly episodes of Aging in Place podcast for every stage in life.
We are back here with Christopher Shembra on Aging in Place podcast, and we've had an absolutely fascinating conversation. I see the word hope. I'm looking at a video monitor with him today, and so it's fun. It's fun for me to kind of see what he has hanging up and around him, a little insight. So what we've been talking about is no matter what period of history we're in, there are always challenges. And here in 2020, we've got our own set of challenges. But what we're trying to do, I think, is tie it all back into the sense of community, and then family, and then individuals, and things that we can do to promote health and wellness within that domain. So let's talk, if we can, back to you, Christopher, a little bit about gratitude.
Yeah, I think the question you asked, the last part of the second segment, was a very interesting one to pick up on. You asked if when we put people together, how organic, how non-organic, you know, et cetera. And what I'll reference, talking about that painting above my head, I was fortunate enough to be able to support a wonderful nonprofit that my dear mentor Tom Sparico runs, called the Curativity Foundation, that supports the great work of St. Jude's Children's Hospital. And that painting of the word hope was painted by one of the kids at the hospital that I was able to support at an auction. And Tom best said it of a 747 dinner that we did for his company. Tom was one of the founders of Priceline.com. He has his name on over 100 inventions. He runs a great company called Brand New Matter. And when we did a dinner for his company, and he gave a testimonial afterwards, he said, "Don't worry about coming into the dinner and expecting some kind of immediate business result. You know, if anything, we want you to get a personal benefit out of everything. Yes, maybe business will follow in the long run, but just focus on the personal, you know, benefit." And that's our hope for all the dinners we do now. You know, now after such humble beginnings in our 350 square foot studio apartment in New York City, now we've been privileged to do dinners for literally the largest companies in the world: Dell, Microsoft, American Express, Verizon, PwC, you name it. And when we go in and do dinners in corporate settings, I state the rule with the client that you can't talk about business at all.
Okay.
The rule is, or the statistics show, that people buy from people, not from companies. So don't go into a dinner wanting to talk about business. Go into the dinner wanting to take care of the personal, emotional needs of the people who are there. Studies have shown recently that when you bring emotion into a B2B sale, that customer is 5 times more likely to consider purchasing, 12 times more likely to purchase, and 30 times more likely to actually pay a premium. And so bringing emotion into the conversation is all you need to do. Remember the 4 things I felt when coming back from Italy 5 years ago? I felt lonely, unfulfilled, disconnected, and insecure. 51% of the American workforce reports being lonely on a consistent basis. That's equivalent to the reduction of lifespan of smoking 15 cigarettes per day, 7 years off your life. So when you can solve that emotional need of loneliness, disconnection in the people you serve, you've gained their loyalty forever. Remember, loyalty is cheaper than acquisition. So you shouldn't use these dinners to just make new deals. You should do these dinners to engage, over the long run, personal business relationships. Yes, when you do these dinners, you will see an uptick in upsell, sure, cross-sell revenue and referrals. Yes.
Sure.
But it's all about taking care of those people. Most of our clients will tell you firsthand, even though they're running companies that have 100,000 employees, 30,000 employees, 200 employees, they'll be the first to tell you, "Everybody wants something from me. I can't walk around with my hand out the entire time. I'm lonelier than ever before." If you can take care of that one need, you'll win that relationship for the rest of your life.
What inspired you, Christopher, to put this all down into book format?
You know, I've been privileged to grow up and be raised by a variety of people who have shared their way of life through the written word. You, my father, mm-hmm. and many great authors that we've surrounded ourselves with, Isaiah and Mark.
Yeah.
And I knew that doing a book was going to be at some point in my path. When I arrived to this city, New York, I started surrounding myself with many New York Times best-selling authors and realized due to my association with them that maybe I had something to add mm-hmm. to say as well. But it really wasn't until Saturday, October 6th of 2018, I was out in Seattle, Washington for a wedding of my good friend Sean and Phoebe. I had known Sean's side of the family. It was great to see his side of the family, but I had yet to meet Phoebe's side of the family out in Seattle. And during the reception, Phoebe's side of the family would come up to our New York table to thank us for making the trip. The Phoebe's mom, dad, godfather, etc. Every family member that would walk up to me, I'd stand up and ask them the gratitude question. You could give credit and thanks. Who would that be? They said wonderful, wonderful things. Even the mom said something about, you know, it being this great question and, you know, I'm going to use it in my work. I thought that was neat. But she said, here, come take a walk with me. I took a walk with Phoebe's mom. She led me over to the cousin's table. She looked at the cousins and said, this is Chris. He's one of Phoebe's friends. He's going to write a book about the findings of a question he's about to ask you. I said, what? What? That's news to me. But okay, cool. So I asked them all the question and they all cried and we had a good time. A little bit later in the wedding, out of the corner of my eyes, I see the bride's father gently grab the wrist of an older gentleman and essentially start walking him in our general direction. I mean, I saw him walk past the crowd of people, over the crowded dance floor, past the bar, walks him right up to me and says, Chris, you got to ask Bill the question. You got to ask Bill the question. Well, that was Bill Gates. And I said,
wow.
I said, all right. Well, before I got the chance to ask him the question, his buddies came up and distracted him. I said, oh my God, I'll never get this chance for the rest of my life. I blew it. And Molly and I, my girlfriend and I, ended up going out onto the dance floor. Uh-huh. And Bill and Melinda ended up joining us. Uh-huh. And by the way, Bill has phenomenal rhythm.
Who knew, right?
But after a great deal of time, we get tired and both return back to our respective tables. I put my head in my hands and I say, oh my God, I can't believe I missed the opportunity of a lifetime. Molly said, mm-hmm. no, you didn't. He's over there. Go ask him. I said, I can't go mm-hmm. ask him. He's him and Melinda. They're having a good time. She said, mm-hmm. you will regret this for the rest of your life if you don't. Mm-hmm. And we walked over there and sat with Bill and Melinda for a great, great, great deal of time. And I got to ask him this question around gratitude. And the way both of them changed right before our eyes to get emotional, to open up, to share such great stories, I realized when I got back to New York City that if this gratitude question and these concepts could get us in the door of Bill and Melinda Gates.
Right, exactly.
Then we were finally on to something. And so we decided to write a book. I was introduced to our co-author, Sarah mm-hmm. Stibitz, by my friend V Band. And Sarah and I went to work and we got to put together a cool little thing that Forbes magazine has ranked the number two book of 2020 to create human connection.
Yes, they have. Yes, they have. Christopher, if people, I know we've only got about a minute left. If people want to get the book, this is a shameless self-promotion time. How can they learn more about you? How can they begin to follow you? And where can they find the book?
They can go to gratitudeandpasta.com and they can read about the book, see some of the press, and it'll take them to a link on Amazon to purchase the book. Our company's main email address is info@747club.org. Someone on the team will respond. We're hosting a bunch of virtual dinners through this time.
Oh, great idea.
So we invite them to email in and we'll try to figure out how to get them to a virtual dinner and keep spreading the message.
All is well. Oh, this is such a treat to talk to you today. I really, 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 really appreciate it. It's been a blast just listening to you articulate all the wonderful things that you're doing. Just makes me so happy. It really does. Your mom and dad have to be very proud of you. I know we all are here in the South. So Christopher Schember, thank you for joining us. We want to thank all of you listeners for joining us here on Aging in Place for any stage in life. Have a great week. I'd like to introduce you to a friend of mine, Tracy. Tracy is naturally curious and always creative. And when we were doing the Aging in Place podcast, she said, there are so many quick tips that I can think of offhand. My response, who knew? She's going to be with us every week, giving us a quick tip and a hint that is a practical application.
Thanks, Debbie. We're not elephants. They say elephants don't forget. I wish I was the same way. I am not afraid to tell you that I just can't remember like I used to do when I was younger. Ask my kids. Like most parents, I call one child using all three of my kids' names. With that all said, I am also a sticky note hoarder. Well, it doesn't even have to be sticky. I leave notes for anyone and everything. Small notebooks are also my favorite go-to. From grocery lists to what time a certain TV program will be broadcasted, I write it down. Most cell phones also have the capability of keeping notes, and I use mine often. No matter how much we think, oh, that's simple enough to remember. It's not so simple if we simply forget. Write it down. Write everything down. Matter of fact, write this down now so you learned it on Who Knew.
Wow, what a fun interview with Christopher Schember. I've known that young man really since before he was born. And I can't say much more than he has said. And the takeaway is this: gratitude is everything. Every day when you wake up in the morning, look around. What are you grateful for? Have a wonderful week here on Aging in Place Podcast for any stage in life.
Aging in Place Podcast is hosted by Debbie Lyons and produced by Henrik de Gior. If you have any comments or questions, send an email to debbie@agingInPlacePodcast.com. We would love to hear from you. If you're interested in advertising or sponsoring this podcast, email us at pr@agingInPlacePodcast.com. Thank you for listening to Aging in Place Podcast.